Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio from the Venice Festival, from the Critics Week section. I'm Angela Cerbi. I'm here with Giulia Furman, the director of Life is Not a Competition, But I Am Winning. Good afternoon.
Hello, welcome.
The best title of the festival.
Thank
so
you.
So far. No, not so far. Well, the title is really, it's really compelling and intriguing. The film has a very special, specific aesthetics too that we're going to talk about it later. I just want to ask her, what brought you to this subject and to this way of telling us these issues, which are many and very important and very contemporary?
So the initial idea came because I love watching sports. I'm really into sports and watch it all day. And I love these huge emotions which are staged in sports. But on the same at the same time, I really don't agree with this very strict gender binary and all these rules in sports. Yeah, so I wanted to combine these two aspects and try... the form we were looking for was not just documenting the violence which is happening or the structure it is, not just to show the world as it is, but to kind of create an utopian vision of how it could be. And that's why we were mixing documentary scenes with fictional elements.
Mm. Yeah, it's really funny, actually. Some parts are really, really intriguing, the fact that you are appearing next to very famous sport people of the past. The fact of starting from the beginning of the history of sports and going further down to our days, and what makes you choose that specific sport figures that you're talking about? Why those ones and not other ones? Did you have to make a very harsh choice?
I mean, it was really difficult to research all these materials because they were like hidden very deep in the archives of like the Olympic Committee or other archives. So we didn't find that many stories about queer athletes from the past or feminist or female or whatever. So we didn't have that many. And also we were looking for archival footage which had a special special gaze or special pictures made of the athletes, not just the usual grainy archive footage, you know, but we were looking for special materiality in the archival footage. And yeah, so then, and then we were looking for like connections between the archival people and our people. And we had our present day protagonists and our actors, they were like making up their minds about how to connect. And then we were, yeah, just looking which people from the past they were, they felt in connection to, so that they could make up ideas about how to bring special movements or special stories to these days. But it was a lot of their ideas from our protagonists. And so, yeah, it was not just me deciding.
Yeah. It was a team effort.
Yes.
You were talking about that you are against this binary, the gender binary in sports, and we know in USA this issue has exploded like in the past years, and but it's not a new one. No, because you were talking about the story of Stella Walsh was a US sportswoman that was winning whatever, and then when she was found out to be they didn't know how to describe her, right?
Yes.
Because they would call her intersex.
Yes.
Was not even that, but it was, probably for that days, it was the only definition that they can give. You start your narrative in the film considering the concept of those wins, of victories. So some victories are better than others. Some victories are remembered, some victories are not remembered. Can you tell us something about this?
Yes, I mean, I guess history often seems to be very objective. This is what happened, this is what's written in the history books, but I guess it's not at all, because what you choose and how you tell the stories is very subjective all the time. And so we try to make it clear that our perspective is just a perspective. It's another one, but it's made clear as, because we are editing our people into the archival footage, we wanted to make clear that it's not the history happening, but it's always how you watch and which narrations you tell in which way. So we try to make it clear that how you narrate the history has an effect of what's told.
What is told, yeah. There is another issue that you raised in the film, I mean, you and your team raised in the film, about the aspects that a woman athlete must have, how she has to look outside of the field. So you're talking about the hyper-feminization of sport women, which is done especially for male audience, not for the sport audience. And how do you relate to that? How do your team relate to that? And how do you think that the past sportswomen that you talk about could have related to this?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I'm really into female soccer, and I watched it for, like, I don't know, 20 years, and it's really, I don't know, it changed a lot how female soccer players look today and how they looked 10 years ago. But it was like, I don't know, they try to make them look more feminine nowadays and to sell more stuff by having them attractive for men. And I don't know, I loved my Panini album with a short hair soccer players because I could relate to them. And now I can't anymore. And I don't like that, making it, to sell it more makes it like more cliche feminine. So yeah, I don't agree on this. And
yeah, it seems like there is a need of sexualizing everything.
Yes, to sell it. But I think it wouldn't have to be because the interest is huge. Maybe we just have to think differently who could be the audience. Maybe it's not just men liking blonde, long-haired
women. Probably there is this idea that only men can watch sports, which is not true.
Yeah, which
only
is maybe
straight men can watch sports.
It mainly is true, but maybe it could. I'm sure it could change, but then it has to be attractive for women to watch it because they maybe recognize themselves or something.
Yeah,
and they if they don't,
relate.
Then
they're not watching bimbos working, running up and down. There is a line that I wrote down because when you were talking, there was a moment in the film where you and your group and your team are talking about what is to be a sport person and identify your gender with the sport that you do. And there was this phrase that the supposedly natural that never existed. So that somebody has to comply, has to follow the rules of some regular, if I may say so, natural aspect of sport that nobody has ever decided, right?
Yes, I mean, what does it mean, natural? Natural is maybe the body you're born with, but it's not a category you're born inside. The categories are made up. So if you have like a certain level of testosterone, then you have this level, but that doesn't mean anything for, I don't know which category you're part of. Mm-hmm. It. So I think it's weird to connect categories we make up to certain physical or they are supposedly natural aspects of bodies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. One last question about the aesthetics of the film, because what struck me a lot is that many shots look like paintings. There is a very pictorial style, very specific, and research, aesthetical choices in order for shots to look like paintings, right? Like pictures, they're very defined pictures. Was there something you were looking for? There was a concept, a kind of artistical concept behind it.
Yes, I mean, sports is such a staged and, I don't know, it has very impressive images if you watch sports. And I was interested because a lot of queer films have this DIY aesthetics and they want to differ from the mainstream visualities and narrations. I can understand it, but I don't want to. Yeah, I also want to have the big stage and to use the big.
Sometimes that thing that never. It doesn't work every time.
Yeah.
The fact of being separate from the straight movies.
I guess, we wanted to kind of use it for other bodies and for queer people, but then also break with the narration and make it clear that it's staged. So we tried to use both.
Yes, both. Well, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot to Julia Furman, the director of Life is Not a Competition, But I Am Winning.
Thanks.
Here in Venice at the Critics Week, I'm Angela Cherby for Fred, the Festival Insider. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.